Ja, hallo, hier ist Felicia Herrschaft mit einer Universalsendung heute und im Studio ist Johann Matthias Schüttenberg und Sarah Pfister und mit Johann läuft jetzt gerade schon Musik im Hintergrund. Er hat jetzt auch über 2 Jahre in Berlin gelebt, kommt eigentlich aus Buenos Aires, wo er auch Musik und Systemanalysis studiert hat und über seine Musikprojekte und wie er sich weitere Projekte in Frankfurt vorstellt, beziehungsweise wie er vielleicht auch vernetzt oder was Inhalte seiner Arbeit sind. Das ist jetzt Thema der Sendung. Yeah. So, yeah, nice to have you here in the studio.
Hello, how are you?
Hey, I'm fine.
Still speaking in English.
Yeah.
In Germany. But, it's after 2 years and a half, in Germany, I think can start to speak a little German. I don't know if it's still in radio.
Yeah, it's no problem because we speak very often English here in the radio. It's not really that you are translating, but you can speak in English. It's fine.
Okay. Can we speak in Spanish?
Yeah, if you like.
Hola, Argentina.
Yeah, what was the reason for you to come here to Germany?
Well, my backgrounds come from German roots.
Yeah.
And I have both nationalities, between Argentina and German. And I read a little of Germany and the possibilities of work and the difference of cultures that there is with Argentina. And I had a chance to work in that time, 2007. So I came to Europe. My brother was living in Spain since 2 years before, around. So I take the chance, no? Having the papers in Argentina is really difficult to travel around when you don't have a nationality or passport from European. This is a really normal migration limitation between people in Argentina when they work for themselves or whatever, and they want to look opportunities outside. Yeah, it's really a limitation you can have when you don't have a passport. So I had the luck to get the passport from my family after like 300 papers presented from my grandparents, like the marriage and the day he took a boat when the Nazis put him in a concentration camp, and when he go out, the time he went out, the time he came to Argentina, the time he got married, the time he died, the time he born, it's like all papers and had to prove into documents, all of these things. This is what they asked me in the embassy of Germany when I asked for the paper of German. And my father, like German, family roots, he keep every paper. So yeah, and now he found something really interesting that I think I'm gonna try to bring to Germany. He found a collection of stamps from my grandfather.
Stamps,
and he has stamps from around 200 years old, and Germany and Nazis and all the stamps that are this for cards, for letters.
Yeah.
So I think a collection is quite valuable. So I'm gonna make some pictures and probably bring it here. I think can be a good exhibition background of Germany. Yeah. And this is the history. I just decided to learn about culture from outside, to take some feedbacks, to take some experience. And I think I make a good decision to come to Germany because the level and possibilities of moving here around and more trying to survive as an artist or trying to move in social directions or projects is kind of more possible. It's not so easy around the world to don't be so worried about, oh, the economy, oh, the how am I gonna survive to doing this, oh, are you crazy, just go to study, or just go to work to blah, 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 selling something. And it's always you have pressure from outside that tell you do this, don't do that, or criticize you. And it's nice then when you find that you can learn from other things that are in around you, you can make them be part of you in some way and let the things that are putting stones in your road, start to be just stones that you can walk beside, you know. So yeah, this is a good learning around here, and it's a nice experience I bring home now when I go traveling outside and recopilating, making a recopilation of experience I see in the street or whatever I'm doing something or moving. This is what I want to share, no? Now that I go into my country in 2 days, tomorrow or one day, it's kind of long time I don't go, so it's a nice background, I think, to like an immigrant also for some time or whatever the time I'm moving, to bring back to the surround I come from what I learned from outside. I think it's really important. Experience and yeah, new ways of seeing. Also, there is a lot of things in Germany that works really good, like this Mitfahrgelegenheit experience and things that you see, wow, how this can work so good, no? This example, how this can work so good in here and so difficult to put it in other places, no? And it's kind of a really nice thing, which also in the cultures from Europe, there are more time around creating things and bringing on ideas, how they move, no? How they make things work in some way. So yeah, it's important. It's important to observe this this experience and share it all over. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, you came from Berlin to Frankfurt in October, I think the first time, for the book fair.
Yes.
Because no, Argentina
well,
was...
The first time I came to Frankfurt, the first place I stepped in Germany, because my flight came here.
Okay.
From Buenos Aires. And it was in 2007. But yeah, like, to do something, not just to cross on the airport, it's book fair, yeah.
Yeah, and there you met Sarah.
Yes, that's so. The possibility. No, I came to... I was in Berlin... Yeah, I was in Berlin and I say, I went to the book fair and I'm going to bring something. I just proposing to myself that I'm going to make some contact. I didn't have an official medium or official something. I have just a newspaper from Argentina. They connect with me because another interview. They invite me to be a collaborator from the newspaper, but nothing like said, you know. And in the search of... asking people, hey, what we gonna do? And don't find answers sometimes. I say, okay, I go in. Because I know I'm going to find something. Because I feel I'm going to find something. And because I'm going to find something. I just impose to myself that this is going to be a positive challenge. So I think it was really strong. I was 1 week in Frankfurt. And not so much inside the fair. I was a little too big for me, the place. A little lost. So many stands and stuff. And not so many people I know. I just feel a little overwhelmed there, but outside in the city, you know, I have experienced really amazing. Like the first night I was in the street and I met a guy in the U-Bahn, and can you put the music a little, Liza? So I met a guy in the U-Bahn and I say, hey man, I'm looking for a hotel. And this guy tell me, yeah, I know one hotel from a friend, like 2 extensions from here. You can come with the Uber. Okay, so we met between the trip on the Uber, and the guy tell me, well, man, now that I know you, and I know, says, you don't need to go to a hotel if you want. You can come to my home to sleep. Like, a really open heart experience on the street. Kind of part of the history of the street that you always recopilate. And I say, this guy is okay, he's a good person. I measure that moment, I say, okay, it's look nice, look good person, no? So I believe on this and I go to his house. And after, I have a really, like, a switch of thinking, no? After that day, because the guy tell me his story and he has, like, three sons and he has not so easy life from Morocco, but living in Frankfurt and work in a restaurant. And I saw he was not economically so wow, no, because I saw his house, no? I saw his privacy. And after I get up on the other day, after good stories we share, I just feel, well, I have the money to go to hotel. It was not the money I had is was not so. I had like 50 euros, you know, in my pocket. So I could go to a hotel, but I met this person on the street, and I decided to go to this guy because I feel it was a friendly person I met and good action. So I followed this action. I not caught this action the guy gave to me. So I went, and when I get up, I say, I think, why go to a hotel or what to pay to the hotel? If the guy give me the money, but why not to give a hand to the guy? Why not to give some money to the guy? Even he don't want, I say, I'm gonna give you some money. He say no, but why not to do it? Because it can be a positive way to help somebody. Yeah, not only when you say something, when you share some idea. Why not to leave 50 euros just on the table when I go? So I say, yeah, let's make this work into a practical thing. Yeah? If I feel something for somebody that's helping me, and I feel happy because he's helping, and why not to give the 50 euros? So I shouldn't do it, or I had not the obligation to do it, but I feel like really released when I leave this money in the table to the guy. And I feel really like I made a good thing, and he made a good thing. So I think this guy, what is the after process of this? This guy's gonna invite somebody else in the history of time, probably, to his house to sleep, because he's gonna have a positive thinking of the action he did, and I believe in also into hospitality with strangers that can be possible, and the hand we can share with other people. No? So I feel really good after that. I try to sometimes to give money in the street to people that is offering something, no? Like giving something, but not just the asking for money, no? Because I think this cannot change so much. But I think the possibilities we can do with money to switch the directions of capitalism and consumption can be really powerful. Because we have a power. Capitalism is so strong today that with the money we have, we can support something in some way. It's one of the supports more strong we have today. So why not to support actions that are good in life with capital, with money?
That's what I find so magic about Matti. Really, he does not look for things. Like he was saying about the book fair, about the hotel. He doesn't go with his plan and his time and his address. Okay, I'm going to meet this person at that time. I'm going to go here and there. He has an idea. He knows what he's looking for. And he comes. And if things are looking good, if he feels a connection, if he feels that he can go somewhere, he'll talk. And he'll talk to one person. He'll get feedback and he'll measure the feedback. If the feedback is good, he'll keep talking. He really adapts every time to whatever situation is around him. And it's all free. It's never about money. Money can come afterwards. If he needs it, if he feels that this guy needs money, then he'll give the 50 euros at the end. Okay. But he's not going to come and say, okay, I've got 50 euros. What kind of a hotel can I find for 50 euros? It's everything backwards. He will find, again, this system of society and money and exchange. But he really starts with the values, with the Gabe and Gegengabe, with I receive something, I give something back. What am I worth? What is this person worth? What is this moment worth? So he has this kind of, I don't know, world vision, life vision of going back to essentials, and from these essentials, forgetting, as he was saying, the stones on the road, forgetting what you have to do, what you're meant to do, just listen to yourself. What do you want to do? What makes you happy? And just follow that. And that's not just in art and not just in relations or in, it's just everything can work that way, which is a bit hard to believe, which sounds very idealistic. And which is why it's kind of fun to hang around the guy for 3 weeks and discover that, yes, on a day-to-day life basis, sometimes it's hard to live, but it's doable to just follow your dreams. And it's kind of beautiful.
Yeah, the experience is... Well, it's...
I'm
thinking to try to make also real, no? What you feel. That's the idea, no? It's a difficult process to live with all the preconception we have from the surrounding. You know, we are always pressured by the thinking people has on us and what the family give us as a teaching and the society tell us what is this good, what is this wrong, what is can be better or for you, what you shouldn't do, what you should do. And it's always like a constant, I think, limitation of your own, of the surround. So sometimes abstract to this surround make you feel a little more open to observe things. Because if you let the surround put this preconception of things you have constantly, you're never going to have the possible to enjoy other things. Because you are into a jail, you're like into behind a glass, no? That don't let you touch the things or don't let you perceive the things you have around. And I, after being so many times in the street and talk with people and go to parties and talk with each other and go talk with anybody that is around and with the objective to learn something from this, just to learn whatever they can teach me and ask directly to this person what I'm trying to learn from this person that I see can help me. It's a really good way to implement a learning based on multiple inputs. So you can learn not only with a book, you can learn with the energy people share to you in life. And this is, I think, a really beautiful way to learn. Not only based on the direction we always follow, these routines we always have, to make the money, to make the study end, to have the title, to have this. Why it's always this kind of routine? Why should be always a kind of, I born, I have a study, I get married, I have kids, and it's like always a, I think, too small box to realize what life is, no? I think it's too boring also, you know? So I sometimes I laugh a lot. What people usually feel like what is important in life, I really laugh. I really see it like something funny. And I, like example, you know, this Christmas, I'm not want to have a present, you know? The only I'm trying to, because it's difficult, is just I want to quit cigarette. I want to quit smoking. So the best gift a person can give me now, if a friend or whatever, is to give me support to don't smoke. So this is the present I want. So I don't want something, I want to release something. I'm doing the opposite of consumption in some way. So in some way, in this way, you are, so I are against a lot of big setups of life we have. Setups that come from history, religion, and bases we have in our lives, like politically set up, you know? So, yeah, if we just believe that the things we have are not actualized, they are not possible of reborn or not possible to develop, then we're going to be stuck, I think. So in some way we have to think ourselves, are we capable to have a new perspective of things or let new laws, new ways of measure things, new ways to develop possibilities, because it's not only the possibilities to develop yourself, it's the possibilities the surround of you let you develop your things, because it's too many preconceptions, too many limitations. No?
There's two steps, basically. It's all about freedom, from what I've understood. And the first step is to realize inside yourself. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Matti. First step is to realize inside yourself what's important for you, what you want, what you're looking for. And the second step is once you have a bit of a more clear idea, because nobody asks you. In life today, people ask you, you know, what's your job and how much money are you getting and what did your parents do? That's the questions that you're asked every day. You're not asked, what's your dream? What would you want for yourself to make the world better, to make yourself feel better? Those are kind of either very, very far below or very, very superficial. What's your dream? I want to have beautiful breaths. Okay, get an operation. Punkt Schluss. You don't have, you know, what's your dream? I want to write poetry. Everybody writes poetry. Everybody draws. Oh, but I don't do it so well. Okay, well, show me what you did. Do you like it? What don't you like? Why do you think it's not good? These kind of questions
what makes
are things...
you feel?
Exactly. What are your feelings? These are questions that people forget. So step one is to get back to your own feelings, to get back to your own roots, basically. And that, I think, okay, Buddhism, I mean, people are starting to think about it. But what I like about you is step two, which is once you've gotten to this inner core, whatever you want to call it, you reach out to other people. And again, it sounds very symbolic and philosophical. It can be as simple as last night we were at the Fachhochschule, and it was freezing cold. It's snowing in Frankfurt. Everybody knows. Okay, we had to go to the Rotes Haus, but for some reason we wanted to go to the other one, and the doors were closed. So we kind of wave, and there are people inside who are having some kind of a political committee with some beers and stuff. So I had talked to one of the guys. Yeah, I'd talked to one of the guys before who had said, "Oh, if you're waiting for this friend of yours who's not there yet, just come with us. No problem." I said, okay, I'll just come back in 5 minutes. When I came back, the doors were closed. They couldn't see me. They were behind the glass thing. So we're like waving, ah, can we get in? And nobody would let us in. And Matti said, oh, look, there's a door on the other side. You just go around the building, go through. And yeah, one guy had actually come to us and said, oh, wait, I'll go see. Maybe I can let you in, blah, blah, blah. No, of course, private party more. And we just went in through the side door. And already I was thinking, we shouldn't do this. You know, this is not the right thing. We got in, we talked to the people. And of course, at the beginning, they're like, no, you're not allowed. This is a private party. Blah, blah, blah.
What? Yeah. But this was not the party after the demonstration?
No, this was another one.
It wasn't yet?
Exactly. There was another student something. We won't give any names.
It's a million of opportunities.
Yeah. No, it was in the house right next door, in this big glass house. And and the guys say, you know, you shouldn't be here, blah, blah, blah. So I'm ready to go. And Matti says, okay, what are you studying? What's happening here tonight? And we stayed, an hour? And they offered us a beer. And Matti saw some food. And I was like, no, you don't go get the food. I mean, we are here. We are invited here. Oh, come on, I'm hungry. He goes, can I have a sandwich? And it just works. And this guy he started talking to, just random. I mean, the first guy who was there started speaking about this festival that we're thinking about. And, you know, we're looking for... It had to do with maps, what they were studying, geo-targeting something. And Matti said, oh, well, we're kind of maybe looking for somebody to do maps for this festival because we have an international festival, so we could have online a kind of a Google Maps system with a few points where you would click and you would have the information about our festival where you are. And so they start talking about this and they exchange contacts. And the guy said, oh, my girlfriend's from Sweden and she draws... It's really that simple. It sounds very abstract when you talk about finding yourself and connecting with people, but it's really just very, very concrete, basic. Knock on the door. If the door doesn't work, try the window and start talking. Yeah. And it just works.
Yeah, just to cross this kind of pre-thinking we have around. But when you look at the eyes of somebody and just maybe ask a question, then this first question he asks you to put you into a moment of I'm doing something wrong, you just cross it to go to the point of show me something. And then the other person is in the position of I want to show this. And then start a talk, a chat or something that can make you be part of a group maybe that you just met there. Sweet. But you feel like, wow, we studied like a year together. No, we just met tonight. Oh wow, amazing. I feel like I can share everything with you. Okay, tell me about your life.
It's what you were saying last night. It's if you dare to ask a question, then the person in front of you is going to dare to open up. And it's really this kind of, how far can I push? Maybe if I push a bit more, then he'll open up a bit more.
No, but a lot of
and it's never violent. It's
always is based on respect.
Yeah, idea. Exactly.
It's when people don't want to be bothered or don't want to share you something, you can feel it. So it's like when you want to help somebody. If this person you want to help don't want to be helped, forget about it, you know? If you want to help somebody that's on drugs, if you want to help somebody that's on alcohol or whatever, if this person don't want to be helped, you cannot help. It's like this. But when the person needs help and you're not there, maybe it's a pity, you know? When the person really wants to look for your hands and say, hey. And you can feel of these things. You can feel this feeling into people. You can see at their eyes and see what they are feeling sometimes. So... if we want to help, we can. Just need to find the time, the space, the right question.
And it always comes back to you. It's not just, you know, I'm opening up, I'm going to help this poor child on the street with this poor lost cat or whatever. It's just, that looks interesting. I'm going to learn something. And okay, maybe as a side effect, this person will get help or this cat will get some milk. But at the end of the day, I've got to know somebody nice. I've got to pet a nice cat and I can keep going and I've learned something and I can share that. And it's just this kind of virtuous circle.
That's it, yeah. Because it's a share, I think. People, kids, people copy what others do in some way, or you can see it reflected.
Gabba,
I think it's
Gabba.
Like, and I think more and more we see around the possibility we have with information to see what is happening around. It's like more and more I see when I observe the other places, there is a connection between people and conscience or moral stuff that is being so similar together. And you think you see people doing things really similar than in other countries, like activities or stuff related, and you say, wow, it's so nice to be connected into, not to the something other talk was in the book fair, no, the appropriation of things, a copyright of things, of ideas and stuff, and the way of using things to a common ending, you know? So we can share this idea into life also, no? We can share this idea into the philosophy of we live in, no? Of living, no? So it's a relation.
Yeah. So, but you are also doing a project in Berlin, or some projects in Berlin, I think, like this Art and Evolution, mm-hmm. and then another thing where you work together with mm-hmm. kids.
Yeah, I met a place in Berlin. It's in Kreuzberg, and it's called Better House, and it's like a space
it's
where people
Better House.
It's one of the places I found, and I think it's a nice space. Growing up, it's new, where it's a workplace where people put hands together to create and design things. But between all the spaces I met, I worked in Neukölln a lot, in collaboration with the state. Also, they wanted to integrate immigrants. There is a lot of immigrants in Berlin, and there is projects to make integration. So, and it's really freely the way you work. You don't have a limitation of what you can teach or what you can share. Usually you have, but you can in some way pirate this to make what you feel, you know. If they see a result, you can do it. So in some way I started this. I worked with Shop Center in Neukölln. So I starting to go to Kitas and Jugendzentrum, where it's a lot of immigrants, and we make some music, we make some classes of art or painting, and all free without a limitation. So in some way I have personally a good experience of working with the immigrants and the system of but the project we are running is now a project we are looking to make something that is connecting our experience in life, you know. So we're trying to mix this philosophy we have for things and content, and we try to mix the experience we have and the people we met before. So every time I go to an exhibition, to a concert, to a backstage, to a cabaret, whatever I go in, I try to make a contact with people I met, personal, social, and everybody I met around, I try to keep some contact from these people. And asking a lot of people I met, I just realized I have friends in France, in Amsterdam, in Buenos Aires, in Berlin, in Frankfurt, and it's all people with spaces and galleries and museums, and they have projects running on, and they're artists, and they make kind of technology stuff and this. So when you see like, this can be in this place, and this can be in this place, and also in this place, and also in this place at the same time, you think, wow, why don't you mix all this project we're trying to do that is about to show new inventions, is about to show art relevant that bring people in to interact with it, to find the best and select it and put it together. Why not to do it all at the same time in different places? If we have all people we want from Amsterdam, from Russia, from this, and we have the content, why don't you propose it, no? So we are working now into the creation of the webpage and like a communication via internet with the people to can work together, you know, into this project. Because it's not easy to work in a project that you want to do in Amsterdam, in France, blah, 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 when you're not there and you don't speak personally. So the idea for us is to how we found a tool in internet, a webpage or something, we can communicate easily with everybody, and this everybody can feel like we are together giving ideas and sharing stuff. It's not easy. It's not easy because usually you have always a space where you meet with people. It's like a museum or a gallery or Beckstadt or whatever you have, and you meet, and it is really nice to create ideas and make things work, like an office you can have, you know. But we believe that we can start to work into internet and connect with people together into this project, no? That is so many spaces to present. That is so many beautiful artists. That is so many beautiful experiences we have made that can be adapted to it. That experience personal we can give, and conference about philosophy. So we have two objectives with this project. One is to look for social integration, for interactivity and social, that we are all people. And even we have more specialities with capabilities different each other. We are clear that everybody has different capabilities, but we are all people. So we are all in the same level to work from the same perspective. And the idea is to find in this same objective art and activities that people can connect with and can maybe interact with it, can touch the piece of art, can see something that they give an idea, a personal learning, can teach kids with some technology or stuff. And the second is how we can survive, how we can find sustainability when the work we do, sharing our content, sharing our work with others, openly. Not trying to find a personal interest direct from this, but to share with others, to say, okay, we do a film together, we put the music in this, you put the video, we create this together, and then we make a product from this, and then we share the comment. We like to find a sustained platform where we can work better and powerful. Because I think when we can share things, we can make powerful endings.
I think maybe for the people who've never heard about this project, which is the case of Felisa, which is the case of people who are listening, it might be a bit confusing. You've spoken about the fact that it would be easier if we had a physical space, that right now you've got places all over the world and it's a bit hard for us to get together and share our ideas in one space. Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll try anyway. You've spoken about the fact that there's this social aspect that we all have to be on the same level and the whole communication, sharing, openness.
Important.
What's the content? You haven't spoken about what this exhibition will be. Where are we going to be? What kind of a space? What kind of art is going to be there? What do people see when they come see your exhibit?
What can see? Well, we make a piece of art made with kids. So one of the ideas is to present art also made with kids, and ideas that can be like dreams represented in the exhibitions. Like example, this wall we recreate into stairs. It's a public piece of art we show, and we want to exhibit to probably asking the state if it's possible to be part of the real public space experience. So some kind of art that you can have something from it that can make you think, that can make you...
So this wall, for example, was this recreation of the Berlin Wall?
Yeah.
And with the idea of taking the physical Berlin Wall and destroying parts of it to make it look like stairs?
Yeah, just a part, not
just
all.
Just a part? And to have children painting over this result of the Berlin Wall.
This is kind of, for us, the idea that can transform a negative space or negative history background space into a positive a visual public space action, you know? And there is still happening in so many places, no? In Israel and in China, and there is still walls in the world that we have that separate ourselves from the others, and then are based on religion and old preconceptions and all things that are not changing because the ego, because of the interest, and because, of course, the outside pressure on this, you know? It's like, I feel like when I see some of this history, like, oh, yeah, I'm in the school, I have somebody that is bothering me, and everybody around me is telling me, yeah, fight, 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 fight. It's like, you know, if you happen in the school, Felicia, when you have somebody that maybe you don't like, or he don't like you, and then the around him, they want to see war, they want to see action. So everybody around is like trying to make you feel angry of this. So you go on and fight with this person. And it's just a theater, no? It's a theater of the society that is trying to make us be angry of this, and oh no, you're a loser, or no, you're this, or no, why don't you do this if everybody do it, and why you're the fuck off, you know? Why don't you let me just be happy how I want to be happy, and without caring and how I should look, and how I have my pants, the jeans. So in Argentina it has like 7 years, the jeans I'm wearing right now, and I don't care. Is it still okay? There's not so many holes. It's working. It's why I need to buy clothes in the shopping and this. I don't need it.
I think we're terribly hippie. It's very much, you know, no, peace and love hippie. And sustainability. Not no, not hippie.
Not hippie because why? Hippie just take dreams and just lay it on the grass for all the day. I don't try to lay on the grass all the day. I try to keep on learning about things, but the difference of a lot of people is everybody wants to show, ah, I made this, so show to others, yeah, I made this and now I'm this. I don't care also for this. I don't look for I don't know, image of something, whatever. I just try to be happy myself, and makes me happy is to learn about life and share what I feel. And sometimes the places I share it is more strong when I share it to one person than when I share it to 100, because one person can really probably be conscious of that information, whatever it is.
Yeah, but what is happening if you really experience violence? So if the action is ending up in whatever, death, someone hurts you,
it depends.
You are traumatized. What are you doing? I mean, then you can't say it's only a game.
Hmm. Well, sometimes I have the moments that I met with people really dangerous, like in the face, no? I don't know what could be, or I don't know, I think you can even share compassion sometimes.
It's what we people. Had in Paris. There was this woman who was being beat up on the street.
No, but personally. Mm. I have people that wanted to steal me sometimes or hit me or something. I just look at the eyes and kind of this thing gets more quiet, no? And if it's something happened violently, I try to don't respond with violence because I don't like to play the same game I receive it, you know? If somebody is violent with a word, I try to answer with a more maybe violent word that can make things feel bad. If it's somebody is trying to kick me or something, I try to avoid it, you know? I don't need to put in risk my health to prove anything to anybody, you know? I don't need to kick the head of somebody between a wall to say, yeah, I'm more intelligent than you or more winning than you, no?
Two examples, maybe. Firstly, when we were in Paris at this bus stop at maybe 3 a.m, we're waiting for a night bus after a disco, and there are maybe 3 guys, Arabs, and one of them has this very, very bloody hand and it's wrapped up in a tissue and he's kind of very drunk, maybe had some drugs, I don't know. And, you know, I'm a girl in Paris at 3 a.m. and I'm not feeling very comfortable. So I kind of look the other way, and when's the bus coming? And Matty says to the guy, do you want a tissue for your hands? And I look at him, what? And actually he was right. And, you know, the guy said, yeah, thanks very much. And then he says, did you have a problem? Are you okay? And he says, no, it's okay. You know, I washed it off. And Matty said, yeah, you should disinfect it because it can be dangerous. And the guy said, yeah, I know. And Matty says, well, you had some trouble with a girl? And the guy said, yeah, it's terrible. You know? And sometimes, you know, says this guy, you have so much violence inside you and you just really want to hit somebody, you want to kill somebody. And it's better that you don't do it to a person. So I hit a wall or I hit a window and that's where my hand got. And Matty said, you know, yeah, that's hard, that's life, you know, it happens, but it's going to be better.
Yeah. And I say,
and this kind, it just completely de-escalated the situation that for me was very uncomfortable, where I was thinking, you know, I have to get out of here fast. You just connect with this person, you just talk, you just ask, you know, what happened? And you don't start thinking, ooh, he's on drugs, ooh, he's had lots of alcohol, he doesn't smell nice. So that was one example of just de-escalating violence or potential violence. And the other one was just last night, coming home from the Fachhochschule, There were these three guys, again, a bit of alcohol, blah, 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 outside a bar, and they said, what was it, white boy, hey, white boy, white boy, because they were all, I don't know, Arab, North African, and I was thinking, you know, okay, fine, they're drunk, they want to make fun of us because we're white and we're not drunk, okay, let's just go home. And Matty turns around and says, what, white boy, red boy? And I was thinking, oh my god, he's going to get beat up. And yeah, and then he says, you know, red boy, green boy, black boy? And they say, yeah, it's okay, you know, we're all human, it's all the same. Says, yeah, yeah, okay, peace, peace, man, okay, good night. And again, this is, you know, basic situations that happen every day that could lead to violence, where you just open a door and say,
I remember when the guy says in Paris, this guy said, yeah, I prefer to hit a wall than to hit a person, you know? And I say, I was in my guitar. I say, I prefer to make music.
Yeah, yeah, that's one sentence. You said the same to a kid. There was this kid in the U-Bahn, in the metro in Paris. Was going, and Matty says to him, are you angry? And the kid, okay. And the father says, yes, he's angry. And the kid, no, I'm not angry. Okay. And then Matty says, you know, do you know what I do when I get angry? I play music or I sing.
So you don't want to be angry anyhow.
Well, it's just a way of expression. I think art, it's kind of a key to release feelings, no? Not just only a way to survive, showing your peace to a lot of people and drinking champagne and say, oh yeah, I'm in New York exhibiting it. Oh, that's so cool. You know? No, it's just also a tool, you know? I think we need tools in life to just not only make other person feel bad, you know? If we can find something that it's negative in ourselves, why I have to give it to you? Why I have to make you feel it, you? This is something that we really find all the time. Like, you have your boss and your boss had a bad day and you came 2 minutes late to the work, so they had to make you feel like shit. Because it's part of the nature. You are the boss. Feel like shit. And this is also the way we learn, no? We learn with fear, no? Oh, you don't have a good note, you have to study more, blah, blah, blah. So also, we have the wrong basis, I think, into what we are doing with our energy, with our feelings, no? That is to share to the other person. Why I need to share my negativity with other person to make them feel bad how I'm feeling? They don't need to feel bad, you know? I can try to write a song, try to make music, try to hit a rock, you know? Just try to make bike. Why I need to make feel other person like shit? I don't need to. If the other person feel like shit, okay, don't make me feel like shit, because I don't want to make you feel like shit when I feel like shit. So
there's basically, it's like just this, like, no? What we're trying to develop as a virtuous circle, there's the exact parallel with, I don't know what to call them, destructive circles, where, like Matty was saying, your boss is in a bad mood, okay, you get to work 2 minutes late. If it had been the day before, he would have said, ah, hey, you're a bit late, it's okay. Today your boss is in a bad mood, he's like, ah, it's horrible, you're always late, etc. So he's going to make you feel like shit. Okay, so you feel like shit, you have a bad day at work, well, you get home, and your kid brings home a grade from school. And it's not too bad, but it's not too good. And because you're in a bad mood, ah, you stupid kid, blah, 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 blah. So the kid feels like shit, because your boss was feeling it. And you don't have to continue giving these negative feelings. It's what it's natural, it's this kind of natural chain that, yes, you have tension, you have to give it away. But if you can just, you know, take out your guitar and sing a song, then okay, your negative energy goes into something creative and you're giving back positive instead of negative.
Yeah, that's the idea.
And it's exactly what I was writing to you this morning. We were speaking about war and being in war. War is, I think, a kind of a natural state of the world. If you want to survive, it's Darwin. You know, you have to be the best, you have to be the strongest. Okay. And that works with just about everything in nature. But that's the good thing about being human, is that you're free and you have a choice.
And
if you want to fight, you can fight, but you don't have to fight against each other. You can use the same energy, the same rage that you have all around you. That's what makes us live. This negative energy you can use for something positive. You can, instead of fighting against one another, you take these two energies, you put them together, and you fight towards peace, you fight towards love, you fight towards defending human rights. That there's all sorts of beautiful, positive things, art belongs to that, that you can do using this energy.
That's a really good example. Yeah.
Yeah, 1 second. I have to ask something.
the song.
All right, perfect. Yes. So, yeah, it was really nice listening to you. It's now
welcome.
The hour is over, so we should follow it up.
Maybe yes. We can give the link to the blog.
Yes.
Yeah, I put it also on the webpage, and then.
Okay.
Perfect.
It's www.values-art-progress.blogspot.com.
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.